Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Looking to take the lead. Jumbo formation. Fake it. Fields. Throws. Caught. Touchdown. Horsted on the receiving end for Chicago. Hand it off. Williams. Spin move to the end zone. Touchdown. Chicago. 1:42 to go in this first half. Second down and six. Carr. Pocket collapses. Slam down. Khalil Mack. Richard is in there. Carr, off his back foot, floats it up. Intercepted. Stepping in, Houston Carson. Carr tries to sell it. And it's Trevis Gibson. He continues to impress for this Bears defense. Renfro in motion. Carr from the gun. Oh, the return of the match. The Bears are leaving Las Vegas with a win, 20-9 over the Raiders.
Vandersloot finds Parker for the easy two. It's a 17-0 run. Game one of the 2021 WNBA Finals belongs to the Sky. 91-77 the final. Pitch driven in the air to left. Well hit. Brantley back. It is gone. It's a home run. And they're within two. 3-1 pitch. Hammered in the air. Deep center field. That baby will go. A home run. Three-run homer, Leury, and they've got the lead. The pitch, Jose hits a ground ball, Correa can't get it in the center. Tim's going to score. Robert to third, it's 7-6. There's a tap on the ground toward third, it's a fair ball. Picked up by Bregman, he throws late. Abreu scores, it's 9-6. 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. Good work by Tapera. That was a shutdown fifth inning. 1-2 on Jose Altuve. Two outs, nobody on in the sixth. The pitch. Got him looking. Great work by Tapera. Two perfect innings. White Sox starting to miss a lot of bats here in the middle and late innings. The pitch. Called strike three on a cutter. Bummer just struck out the side. 15 in a row sent down by the White Sox bullpen. Two strikes to Altuve. Here it comes. Called strike three. We've got ourselves a series. The Sox take game three, and they're very much alive.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, 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 bring them out.
What a great day in Chicago sports yesterday. With Jonathan Hood, with Danny Zetterman, Jeff Miller, J.R. Strauss, I'm David Kaplan. Welcome into the Cap J Hood Show on a Victory Monday. Brought to you by our Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. And we are ready to rock and roll with you. And we will discuss what the White Sox got accomplished. We'll discuss what the Bears got accomplished. What the Sky got accomplished in Las Vegas. Bulls even won a preseason game. But Hoodie, let's start with the football win that many did not see coming. But you and I thought they got a chance in this game. And they were physical.
Yeah, I thought, Cap, that it was going to be a winnable ball game, and the first thing I thought of was the fans, right? And it's just what I thought. Watching a Raider game in this situation from beginning to end, I realized that the Bears fans were going to be out there and that the fans in Vegas are still trying to get used to the Raiders being there. It's not like the black hole. It's not being like being in Los Angeles or Oakland. It's still a home field advantage or maybe neutral at best in Las Vegas because there aren't just like these 40,000 Raider fans that are there. I heard the Bears fans loud and clear when Justin Fields was coming off the field, going on the field, when the Bears made a play. You heard the roar, right? It was, you know, it was not subdued. You could, it was almost like a Bears crowd there based on my TV. So I thought that that was the one of the positives for the Bears. The other is that that defense is ready to play. The defense that we questioned early has now come to the forefront as the number one distinguishing characteristic of this football team. They have an identity again.
Well said, and that goes right along with what the guys on the Football After Show, Olin, Alex, and Lance, said, that you have to have an identity. Maybe your identity is that you score 35 points a game and you throw all over like Kansas City. Maybe your identity is you run far more than you throw and you hit people in the mouth. And, you know, I was saying, Mario Edwards, what are you doing, man? We can't have those. And Olin looked at me and said, kid, that's how you develop an identity. You don't want it all the time, but guess what? Every team you play has to know they're going to get punched in the mouth. And the Bears defense, Sean Desai, tip your cap. And when we were hard on them, we're hard on them, but we got to be fair here. Matt Nagy's guys played hard for him.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're all on the same page, and that's a good win.
Well, I guess from a defensive standpoint, what I liked is that you saw a team that was physical, whether that's Roquan Smith or Khalil Mack. And the Mario Edwards thing, here's what I think about the Mario Edwards thing. Yeah, you can be able to hit guys in the echo of the whistle. That's fine. Just don't be dumb like the Raiders. Do you realize how pathetic, how undisciplined the Raiders have been, not just under Gruden, but over the years?
Yep.
No one's been more penalized than the Raiders. I mean, not just this year, for decades of undisciplined play. That really helped the Bears out as well. All these penalties, all these mistakes that the Raiders were making, typical Raiders. I mean, they have all the pomp and circumstance and all of the Al Davis from the past and all the great memories of the Raiders. But the one thing for sure over the last 20, 30 years, you look for an undisciplined football team, it's that one right there. That helped the Bears as much as the Bears helped themselves yesterday.
Well said. And so it was a great day in Chicago sports. We'll dissect everything about the Bear game. We'll dissect everything about the White Sox game. I'm going out there today. I can't wait to watch that game.
Bring your rubbers.
But I'm most happy for people in my life who are diehard White Sox fans. My brother, you. I've got some dear friends. That's their team. And to see that environment. And again, it was through my TV, but I had friends who were at the game who called me late last night and said, dude, that was one of the greatest environments I've ever been to. And it's 5-1, and it's quiet, and Grandal hits the home run after DJ called it. Bam! Back.
Yes, it was so good to see that. I was watching it at the White Horse Inn in New Lenox. Thanks, Miller Lite, and thanks so much for the staff and the management at White Horse Inn. What a great place to watch a game right there in the south suburbs of New Lenox, Illinois. It was great to be able to watch the White Sox, and it was up and down just like the game was, right? Fans were into it early, and then all of a sudden the wind's taken out, and you're saying, oh, man, here we go again, right? And it starts with starting pitching. Once again, Cap, last week we were talking about Giolito. Maybe he could be the stopper of this. Not the case. Cease comes in, big spot. Again, 40,000 people, blackout game, on the edge of their seats, and then the win is taken out of the game. But the thing that the Sox could always rely on is offense. It got annoying to me the first couple of games where you couldn't get an extra base hit, bunch of singles to try to score runs. That's not going to get it done.
No.
But they finally broke through. Hopefully they can carry momentum from one day to the next and keep that offense going. Remember I told you, and after game one, or during game one, Dusty was kind of pacing when the Sox get into the bullpen because he knows his bullpen isn't that good.
Correct.
And so he started pacing, got a little nervous, got past game one, got past game two. But then the Sox got in that bullpen, and they beat their ass.
They did beat their ass. The Sox did a really good job once they got that Grandal home run. Then they got the big bomb from Leury Garcia. They just played a solid game. But the key for that victory was that bullpen. Ryan Tepera. By the way, I thought the broadcast on TV, I thought they were great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Not good. Great. Adam Amin.
AJ Pruszynski
and Adam Wainwright's got a future doing that, man. Mm-hmm. I know he's 40 years old. He'll probably pitch. He had a great year. Whenever that dude wants to do television, that threesome was great. Hearing AJ on the play at the plate that hit Grandal. Yeah, I've been in a few of those myself.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, he tried to do that on purpose.
Oh, sure. Oh.
It was awesome.
No question. From what I could hear, maybe a little bit more volume on Wainwright. A little TBS on there. Don't be a TBS guy. Talk with a little volume. You know, turn it up a little bit. That's all. He'll learn that. I mean, his conversation was good, but just give me a little something.
Yeah, you know? I really enjoyed it. And then Tepera, two innings. I mean, that was AJ called it the MVP of the game. He mm-hmm. said all of a sudden, all these runs are, and he goes in six up, six down, lockdown, Kimbrel. That place was so loud when he got the strikeout.
Yeah.
And then Liam Hendricks closes it down. Bam! There you go. 312-332-3776.
Wainwright Mitch, and he goes, hey, is the big guy Kimbrel, is he going to stay in there for the extra inning? AJ's like, no shot.
Yeah.
No. That's why they got Hendricks warming. You got to give him some innings there. Get the blood flowing.
Get him razor sharp, ready to go.
Yeah.
Avery in Arlington Heights. Hey, Avery, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, boys? I was at that game last night, and I've never seen anything like it. The energy was so electric from the beginning when they were announcing Houston players, all the boos and cheater chants. Dude, it was great. And then when they announced the Sox lineup, the place erupted. And you talked about it. When they put up those couple runs, Houston, it's like a vacuum sucked all the energy out of the stadium. But as soon as we hit that home run, back at it. And I know that the players on the Sox were feeding off of that energy that the fans were providing. And I'm glad I could be a part of that and help them get that W.
Absolutely, Avery.
Avery, thanks, man.
Man, that's great. I mean, again, as a White Sox fan, I loved every second of that when the Sox were having some momentum offensively. Yeah, you're right. Early in the game, you're thinking, boy, Houston, and they're just so relentless, man. I mean, 1-9, they're so good. And with the White Sox, you're just waiting for the middle of the lineup to be able to maybe help the rest of it, right? Robert, Abreu, Grandal, Aloy. Aloy, I told you, was going to be Moncada. My pick to click. That was my guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, he comes through 2-for-5 with a couple of RBIs. So I just hope the momentum can continue, Cap, because I'd hate for the season to end and just fold so quickly. Now it's Rodon tonight.
Get it done. 2:37 first pitch.
Yeah.
And we'll have Carmen and Yurko leading right into pregame with Connor and then Rock and Roll.
Oh, so they're going to go all the way through.
Is that right?
10 to
is
2.
Is that how that is?
10 to 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're broadcasting live from ESPN Chi Bar.
There you go.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome.
You mean Chi Sox Bar and Grill?
Yes.
ESPN Chi Bar would be upstairs. That'd be some new place that we've got.
I've been to the Chi Bar.
Myself.
It's very good. They have a private room.
Thank you, Mark.
Champagne room.
All right, we'll get back to your calls. Yeah. Up next, we focus on the beloved who are over 500. Are you buying this team can make a run for the division? That Packer team is banged up. Bakhtiari's not back yet from his ACL a year ago. They lost Jair Alexander, their all-pro corner. They lost Za'Darius Smith. He's on injured reserve. They're banged up.
Okay, you're banged up too. Clear it out, for God's sakes, Harry. For God's sakes.
All right, I'm good now.
Jeez.
Dude, I was up sending a stream of text to you guys at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wait. You didn't sleep. I'm a Sox fan. I have just left.
Yeah, there you go.
Clear it out, Harry.
So, again, we'll get to your calls. What'd you see? Are you buying it? Can they make a run? Can they take down the Packers Sunday at Soldier Field? 312-332-3776. And your opening drive, you just heard it, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Chicago's Big Ten team. Get season and single game tickets at NUSports.com. With Hoodie, I'm Cap. You're next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
With my guy, Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan. A really good day in Chicago sports. We don't get those all the time. Where you have a team in the WNBA Finals. They're up 1-0 with a road win.
Yes, getting the job done against Phoenix.
You got the Bears winning as a 5.5-point dog. They go out and win convincingly in Vegas. And then the White Sox have one of the coolest environments you'll ever see at a sporting event. Blackout game. Place was loud. Place was abrasive to the Astro players. I loved in the ninth inning when Altuve was batting, and the entire stadium is chanting, F. Altuve cheater. That was awesome, man. It was great.
That's when you have a home field advantage. Sox fans could not wait for the team to get back to guaranteed rate. Again, being down 2-0, and it's been a house of horrors during the regular season. Could not win there at all.
So
hopefully things will turn around here today.
White Sox were an AL best 53-28 at home this season, including now 18-10 against teams with winning records.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, man. Pretty good.
So let's talk about the Bears as well. Again, this is usually a Bears victory Monday, but there's so much going on. Cap and I are going to try to cover everything by the time we're out of here at 10 o'clock. So, Cap, as far as the offense is concerned with the Bears, I love the running game. Of course, 143 yards, 37 carries. Herbert and Williams picked up the slack for Montgomery. The distribution of the ball to Mooney and Robinson, the tight end got involved with Komet 2-for-22. The biggest differences I see in the offense with the guy now, with Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor, is the blocking scheme is better.
Mm-hmm.
The protection of the quarterback is better. The running game has lanes to run. But I'm just here to tell you, that offense isn't good enough. Still not good enough.
No, 20 points is not enough.
Still not good
enough. Not enough.
Although, I mean, I gave you the positives. But again, Packers are coming here on Sunday. When the Packers play the Bears, you got to score more than just 20 points.
Or you're not winning.
Period.
Now, they won yesterday 23-20, the Packers.
Yeah.
No, 25-22.
Yeah.
I promise you, you're going to have to score more than 23 points to beat Green Bay. I just don't see us. And I love our defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's Aaron freaking Rodgers.
That's the issue. Again, we know it's going to be growing pains, and we know that Justin Fields, rookie quarterback, is trying to work some things out, but it's still not good enough offensively. And so I read a story I know you couldn't read because you were blocked, in Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune.
Correct.
He hasn't blocked me, but I have it here. For the century, you have to go all the way back to 1989 when the Bears ran the football 37 or more times in three consecutive games. Cap. Okay, so you got to go back to 89. Waddle, right?
Correct.
Okay, going back to that time when the Bears had 37 or more rushes in three consecutive games. That's a different era of football right there. And I don't mind the Bears running the football, but you have to be more than that to be able to flourish in the NFL these years.
But when he had to make a huge throw, it was 3rd and 12. And Matt said after the game, yeah, we had that play dialed up all week in practice. Mm-hmm. We just and didn't know when it was going to be the suitable defense in the right situation. He hit Mooney with that bullet.
Yeah.
Mooney went down and caught it. Dude, I'm just telling you, man.
It's
that
great.
Was a massive, massive pick.
I love that. I love that. But you've got to be able to get in more of a rhythm and score more. The biggest positive I can give you on the Bears' win is that the Bears are not embarrassing themselves offensively.
Correct.
We've seen it go the other way, right?
Correct.
So there's a semblance of offense there, but they're not. At least they're not embarrassing themselves. But 12-for-20 for 111 yards, two sacks, one touchdown, finally get that touchdown. That's got to get better.
Got to get better. But the ability to run the football sets everything else
It was a hell of a physical game for sure.
Oh,
you can hear the pads popping. You know how physical it was on both sides for the Bears offense and defense. It was physical. But again, what we saw from Herbert and Williams was great. They did what Montgomery would do by himself, which I loved. But you got to give me some more shots down the field. You got to work on the secondary. You got to make Mooney and Robinson dangerous. You got to do that. It's good to five and dime, a big first down here and there. But can you stretch the field?
We're going to find out because you're going to have to against Green Bay. 312-332-3776. Go to Matt in Lake Zurich. He's first. Hey, Matt, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, morning. What a great day. The Sky, the Sox, the Bears, that other team. What a great day.
Cubs.
I just want to say one thing.
How the Cubs do today?
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to say, I think a game ball should be given to the Las Vegas Raiders receivers, particularly Waller.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did they mess up on the field yesterday, and they really helped the Bears to the victory. I just want to add that out and let you talk about it. Take care.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Matt. Well, they had the deep shot they took to Bryan Edwards, and he dropped it.
Yes.
That was a huge drop.
Yeah.
Darren Waller is an outstanding player for them. Mm. He didn't have his best day. Just Derek Carr just doesn't look right. There's something off there. He looked like Cutler sitting on the bench, not talking to anybody. He looked just like Jay did when he was here.
You know what? I'll just say that the Bears' defense was just red hot.
They were awesome.
I'll give the Bears credit, more credit than saying Carr and the offense was flat. The Carr and offense was flat because the defense was opportunistic in getting after the quarterback. That's what I'll say. Because you've seen the Raiders put points up, right?
Yep.
So it's not like they have a moribund offense. They can get it done, Cap. It's just, I just give credit to the defense getting to Carr, rushing him out of the pocket, hurting him at one point, bringing in Nathan Peterman. They brought him in for a couple of snaps. So, I'll just give the game ball to the defense because they were able to really do a good job against Carr and their offense.
Yeah, they did. It started right away. First play, I think. Robert Quinn, tackle for loss.
Yes.
Robert Quinn is having a whale of a season.
Mm-hmm.
And as you watch the pressure that guy puts on the quarterback, and then Eddie Goldman had a huge stuff on a fourth and short of Josh Jacobs. I'm just telling you, man, you get Akeem Hicks back and you get all these cylinders pumping, pretty damn good. 312-332-3776. Demetrius is over in Inglewood. Hey, Demetrius, what's going on there, buddy?
Cap, Jake Hood, what's going on?
What's up, D? How you feel?
All right, the thing I got from that game yesterday, guys, it seems like Matt Nagy is still dipping and dabbing in the playbook. The receiver route trees, the routes that they're running, is they're just not getting open. And the main thing that I take from it is, like, the other four rookies that's playing, this seems like they're way more ahead of Justin Fields, and they all came in the league at the same time. It's just the offense just can't get it together. And when I tell you this, when we play the Packers, you know the Packers go. That's a big matchup for them. The Packers are going to come in next week and smoke the Bears. It's just like the offense just can't get it. We on pace to throw for like 1,700 yards in a season.
Right.
I just don't get the offense these guys is running. What you guys think about that?
I couldn't disagree with you more from one perspective. The other, I agree with you because I think Hoodie already said it. They have to score more than 20 points. They have to threaten people down the field. But Justin Fields he's taking on a persona of a tough guy, and his guys are feeding off of him. We just got to be patient with this team and let this kid start to develop.
He says that Nagy's still calling some plays here and there.
No shot.
What's he covering his mouth for? What's he got to hide if he's – who's he talking to?
They're discussing stuff. There's no question. Yeah. But after the game, they said every – Bill Lazor is calling the plays. And Matt wanted to make that clear. Bill Lazor's calling him, and he did a great job.
I think he says that Nagy's calling the plays. I think he might be talking about that first quarter. What do you call that play, Cap, where you saw Fields turn and try to throw to Mooney? It was behind the line of scrimmage?
Correct.
Remember that play?
Yeah.
It's like, so if that's still in bounds, that's going to be, well, it was out of bounds, right? That pass
he lost 7 yards.
He lost seven, yeah.
Correct.
Because that made it second and 17.
Correct.
Then the delay of game call on that, it was just... That's why he's still not polished yet, Fields.
No, but he's a rookie. Kid.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
Yeah.
So it's going to take time, but that Matt, he obviously hears everything going on,
But you see a lot. He didn't even have the play sheet in his hands.
Yeah.
And he said, I feel more connected to all three phases because you're being a head coach now.
Yes. He was watching everything. They had a nice camera on him, you know, bent over, hands on the knees, going after the officials on defensive calls, too.
Yep.
It's good to be able to have a skin in the game and understand what's going on all three phases and being involved.
Completely agree. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Marcus in Minneapolis. Marcus, what's going on there, Buttercup?
Cat, what's going on, man? I want to make a point to something Jonathan Hood just brought up in referencing your show, because I watched the after show. Jonathan Hood said, he made a point, he said, we're in a different era. And the guys yesterday, I think Briggs and Cruz said, when you run the ball and play good defense, and play defense, good things happen. I understand what they're saying, but that's not going to last long. You're not going to be a good team running the ball 34 times a game. That's why we scored 20 points. Eventually, we have to be a threat in the passing game. This is not the 85 Bears. And I just don't get why these guys can't adapt to the new era.
Okay, again, you have to be able to do what's working for you that day. Yes, Hoodie said it. They have to be able to stretch the field. Yesterday, the way to win that game was to punch them in the mouth and run it down their throat. Remember when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl?
Yep.
They won the NFC title game. They threw 9 passes.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked Kyle Shanahan, the wizard everyone loves, why? Why didn't you throw the ball? Because we're running it effectively. Why would I change?
Right.
It's working.
My guys aren't tired. There's open running lanes. I'm going to run it.
Correct.
I understand where Marcus is coming from. Again, you have to be more well-rounded offense. It's something that's very important for this offense. And again, it's a work in progress, Cap. It's a work in progress for everybody, but I'm glad the Bears were able to get that victory again with so many Bears. I was so happy to hear the Bears fans in Vegas. I hear them like, there it is. It felt like 60-40 Bears fans. Again, like Wallen Silby and Abdallah could probably tell us better, but it felt like more Bears fans were there in Vegas making the trip across the country just to root on the team.
There you go. 312-332-3776. Can this Bears team make a run for the NFC North title? They got a massive game on Sunday. You win Sunday. Don't let us win on Sunday. Because, oh my, they'd be 4-2 with a win over Green Bay. It's at Soldier Field. Your Bears calls. Next. Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Johnny. 7:37, pour a cup of coffee or a second one or maybe a fourth one, whatever it takes. Get through Monday because 2:37, that ball will be pitched toward home and game on. Let's go.
What time is it on the podcast?
7:37.
It's not 7:37 on the podcast.
Okay, it's 37.
Oh, 37 after the hour.
37 after the hour, or 37 minutes into the podcast.
Okay, all right. I just want to know what time it is.
It's not that either.
Yeah, so.
What is it?
Well, we remove the commercials for the podcast, so, you know, you subtract those.
Okay, so it's 27.
What you just heard, everyone, is a late night for Jeff Meller. This is his time now. Playoffs. I would say it's his time, but regular season and playoffs is usually bedtime and good night, gentlemen, around midnight.
Right.
Every night.
And now, I said, good night, gentlemen, and now that thing's taking on a life of its own. So I literally got up at like 3:01. My dog is pawing, one of my three dogs, pawing at me.
Right.
Going to go out. Well, he's almost 14. Yeah, I get it. I take him out.
How about that? You got a talking dog. That's pretty special.
Pretty cool.
I got to go out.
I can't get back to sleep. Like, some people could just roll over, go right back to sleep. Not me.
Yeah.
So I was up for well over an hour sending a stream of texts to all of you.
Yeah.
And then I signed it. Good night, gentlemen.
That's right. That's right. Good night, gentlemen.
No. But don't forget the weird omission or that what you're omitting here is that after your good night, gentlemen, you proceeded to text us like 5 more texts.
Yeah,
correct.
There's more. There's not good night, gentlemen.
Because my brain doesn't stop.
Yes. We all know that.
The marching band in my head never quits.
Yes. And it's offbeat.
You're better than that. 312-332-3776.
How about that, Danny?
Let's go back to the phones. Nesby. We haven't heard from Nesby.
Where's Nesby been, for God's sake?
Nesby, what's cracking?
Hey, nothing much. Hey, hard work, gentlemen, hard work. Been working my behind off, man. So, you know, I've been listening.
But you're still listening, right, Nesby?
Absolutely, absolutely. All still right. listening. Fellas, I'm going to tell you, off rip, we about to go on a run. Because this team reminds me of the physical teams of the Seattle Seahawks when Russell Wilson was a rookie. And when Kaepernick was with the Niners, what did they do? They ran the football down your throat and played tough, hard-nosed defense.
Yeah.
That body slam yesterday James Daniels did, when that guy tried to hurdle him when I think Khalil Herbert was running the ball, that set the tone, man. Mm. That set the tone. And Green Bay does not like to get physical. That's common. Then, of course, they'd have Jair out. You know, they're missing one of the Smith brothers. They got Jair out at corner. I'm expecting the Bears, just like I said that they would do against the Raiders, and handle them convincingly. I'm expecting them to handle the Packers convincingly if they follow this format.
Well, I can't tell you they're going to, but I do think they have a real strong shot. What do you think the line is? And thanks for the call, Nesby. Don't be a stranger.
I've not looked at the line yet.
Okay.
Do you have it?
Mellor, have you looked at the line yet? Okay. What do you guys think it is?
Packers 3.
Well, the Bears are at home. I'm going to say Packers by 1.5.
Packers 4.
Ooh.
Packers 4. Mm-hmm. That line's going to move.
To 7 Packers.
No, absolutely not.
You sure?
They got a lot of injuries.
All right. I'm not ready to preview the Bears-Packers yet. We got all week, okay? Because it's meat and cheese week, okay? So we got time.
Okay.
But the point is, though, is that we've got to realize just from the beginning, it is Aaron Rodgers on the other side.
He's awesome.
Yeah, and if you're talking about from a point spread standpoint, that's one thing. But as far as, like, you know, down here where we live here, where we talk about wins and losses, I think the Bears would have a hard time against Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just telling you, they got a shot to win this football game.
Every team's got a shot to beat the other team in the NFL.
No, I feel like we've got a real shot. Like, you got to get some pressure on this dude.
Okay.
A couple of late hits. Whatever. I'm not saying to go try and kill somebody. Just set your mark and enforce it. We're a physical football team.
Okay.
Let's go. Play with an edge.
Mm-hmm. So what are the Packers going to play with?
A really good quarterback.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Let's go back to the phones.
That's why I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm still basking in the glow, the afterglow. Ah, that is the Bears' victory against the Raiders.
Kenneth is in University Village.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Kenneth, good morning.
good morning, Cap. Good morning, Hoodie. What's going on, guys?
Good morning, Kendall. Good morning in University Village.
Exactly. So, guys, I think, you know, Bears looked good yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Laser called a really good game. And, you know, I think week after week, we just have to see the offense evolve, right? You know, you see the running game, and next week, you know, maybe add in a couple screens, draw plays, some slants, some sluggos. But here's the thing. The Bears need to be able to score early to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they were, you know, the defense came is because they were 14-3, right? They play against the Packers. They get down 14 points. This offense is not going to be able to play from behind. So I think the key is for them to be able to score early. And then special teams has to play well, right?
Yes.
I think we're leaving that out, too, where, you know, great punts, couple field goals. So I think everything has to click for them. But I think the main thing is they need to be able to score early. And then last thing, me, you, and Cap, we're running a marathon next year. So let's do it. And we're going to raise a lot of money for it. We're running it next year. Put it on your radar. All right, guys.
All right, man.
You're out of your mind. See you, Kenneth.
Now, hold on a second. Now, there's two different things at work here. Either the Bank of America marathon, in which I don't think any of us would be favored in because we're not from Kenya. And the other thing is maybe just the walk. Walk is one. I think that's probably more like it than the marathon.
I'm questioning whether Kenneth could complete the walk as one Chicago.
Sounds like a challenge.
Not the guy that was playing at Lions Township High School back in the day.
Don't give him a challenge. That guy still plays. Don't do it.
I'd love to go to the gym with him and have a free throw shooting contest with him.
We'll make sure it's not filmed, you know, just to save you from the embarrassment.
I don't know. I'd like a shot at him. Can this Bears team make a run for the division? 312-332-3776. And let's go to Carlos in Oak Forest. Hey, Carlos, what's up on the South Suburbs?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, good morning. Happy Monday. Happy Victory Monday, most importantly.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, guys. So I definitely think the Bears can make a run for it. Why? Because yesterday I was watching this game and I was getting nervous. They were up on the score. Offense is going back out. I'm like, oh, man, here we go. Three and out. But nope, that's not the case anymore. We're getting first downs. We're getting the job done. So I don't know what you guys think about that. Secondly, I know you guys said it was a physical game yesterday. The Raiders were going after Justin. What are the chances of John Gruden telling them, hey, look at this rookie quarterback. The best way that we're going to beat Justin Fields, hit him hard, throw him off his game. What do you guys think?
Well, I tell you what, Elos, we appreciate the phone
call.
Carlos. That Raiders defense was getting after Justin faster than you could say diversity training John Gruden. I mean, it was amazing.
You've been waiting all morning to use that one. That was good. That was good. They got pressure on him, but as the game wore on, they did not. They That's got right. some hits early. That offensive line were a bunch of road graders in the run game. And you didn't have David Montgomery back there.
No.
He might have run for 200 yards. But the two dudes they used played really, really good football.
They made up, they picked up the slack for Montgomery by running the football hard. Give Mellor credit. Jeff, you were saying about Williams and how good he was with Kansas City. And if he could continue to run like that, boy, the Bears have a real find.
Yeah, no, look, I've always been impressed with the way he runs. So, you know, what it does is it tests their depth because another injury to a running back and all of a sudden, and although Herbert looked good,
mm-hmm.
you know, you need multiple running backs in the NFL because it's a war of attrition with those guys. And so that's why you need Montgomery to get back is because you want to have the option to have two or three of those in your backfield.
312-332-3776. Can this Bears team make a run for the division? We will talk White Sox. Hat tip to the sky, one up in the best of five to win the WNBA. And the Bulls won a preseason game. Season's 10 days away. Hard to believe. All of your Bears calls and more are coming up next. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
With Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. Hoodie, I got to get your perspective on where we were 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago? When was the Cleveland game? 3 weeks ago.
Try to erase that from our memory.
The Cleveland game,
yeah.
Where I'm yelling they got to fire the head coach, Dan Orlovsky screaming, Rex Ryan Clark, they're all going, get this dude out of there. To where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your scouting report of that.
Well, when we take a look at the Cleveland game, we saw a guy that thought he still had perspective offensively. He's like, oh, Justin Fields, we can run the same thing for Justin Fields as we run for Andy Dalton or any other quarterback. It's my system. And I think that it was a come-to-Jesus moment when there was a meeting after that Cleveland game where you had offensive players with input, where you had Justin Fields with input, Bill Lazor, everyone, say, you know what? Your plan stinks. Your plan stinks. And we're going to do something to make sure we protect that kid as much as possible. He's going to run out of the pocket, so you got to be able to protect him. And so I think that there's a far cry from the Cleveland game to where we are right now, where there was an adjustment for Matt Nagy. I told you before the season, Cap, I said the biggest thing I look at with the Bears and Nagy is inflexibility. Remember I told you, it's like, you got to be flexible in this game, man. Yes, you have a game plan, but maybe your game plan doesn't work. Maybe you have to make some alterations. And you can see the difference, a stark difference between the Cleveland game and where we are today with the offense. It's not, again, it's not a finished product yet, but it's better than it was in the Cleveland game.
Let's go back to the phones, 312-332-3776. Mike's out in Tower Lakes. Hey, Mike, what's going on there, buddy?
How you guys doing? I had a great time watching the game yesterday. Loved the way they played. Loved a lot about it. But I had some frustrations, and it was with some of the undisciplined penalties that we took. I think you could look back, and the first touchdown the Bears scored, I think it was based on Vegas giving undisciplined penalties, which allowed us to score.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, one was very easy to see. It was toward the end of the game, maybe 5 minutes ago, and our defensive guy threw the running back to the ground. The whistle blew. We all knew it. And we thought, yeah, is there a benefit to us showing that physicality, or is that stupid? And we had a couple other penalties. You know, the one we luckily, on the fourth down, it was after we got the ball back, which was lucky. But that still seems just like a silly thing. Or do you think the coach is trying to set a precedent that we're tough and we're mean and we're going to survive those kind of penalties? I don't know. You tell me.
Appreciate the call. So let me address that with you, Jonathan. So I'm asking the guys who I work with who all played. I told you this last week. I joke on the air. I said, the four of us have combined for 35 years in the league. Me, zero, and those guys, 35 years. And I asked them, Mario Edwards, you got to be smarter. And Olin Krutz, who's one of the toughest dudes you'll ever be around, said, dude, there is a time where, yeah, you don't want to pick up the penalty, but when they watch on tape in other buildings, they go, well, that Bears team plays with an edge, man. You mm-hmm. better have your head on a swivel. It sets a precedent about how physical, how tough you are, that you're going to play right to the edge and a couple times might cross it.
As long as you're not hurting the ball club in which the team scores because of your silly penalty, that's the thing that I'm concerned with. Here's what I would say in response to the guys from the postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago. I would say this. Don't you think that the Bears already play with an edge without those two unsportsmanlike penalties from Mario Edwards Jr.? And when you see Quinn, when you see Mac, is that not edgy enough for you? Is what them getting after quarterback, is that not edgy? Do you have to do that to be able to show that you are an edgy player or that you have an edgy defense? I think that's the reputation coming in, is it not?
I think what they were saying to me was those dudes play hard and those guys are really good. But like Olin showed us a video on his phone of a play where as he's going down, it's a little extra shot. Bam!
Okay.
And it's just, you don't want to become a dirty team.
The Raiders.
Correct. You don't want to be a heavily penalized team. You just want to put it in everyone's mind. That's a bunch of bad dudes there. That's not a soft football team. That is a punch you in the mouth football team.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, you don't want to have 15 yards here, 15 yards there to prove a point. I think your reputation is, if Khalil Mack's on the football team, you already are an edgy team. And you don't have to play it to the echo of the whistle to prove how tough you are. And by the way, sidebar, may I approach?
You may. Brought to you by Ankin Law. Howard Ankin, our guy. He was here Friday. We cut all the spots. Welcome, Howard.
It's official now, Danny. I guess we could say it. All right.
I've received no notes.
Okay, so
it's all done.
Nonetheless, so are we referring to Khalil Mack as Khalil Mack or Khalil Mack? You heard Iron Eagle, right?
I did. Boy, was that one of the most annoying things. Every time he did it, it was like nails on a chalkboard. So annoying.
Well, it's also like...
Is that how he pronounces it?
Pat Hughes. The guy's name is Wilson Contreras. No, it's Wilson Contreras. You know what I mean?
Charles Davis is our guy. He used to be a regular on the show when it was Cap and Company. He had a horrible game yesterday also. I mean, he made a bunch of mistakes. That broadcast crew sucked.
No, not disagree.
Bring me back Gus Johnson and my guy from Kansas.
Keep Tlaib.
Yeah. Oh, this was a better broadcast.
Oh, my God. Charles Johnson made so many mistakes.
The old catcher? The old Miami catcher. From the Florida Marlins,
the old
right?
Colorado wide receiver.
Davis.
Yeah, whatever. His name doesn't deserve to be pronounced right. Newt or Canute. Like, who calls him Canute Rockney? Like, what are you doing, man?
I didn't hear that. Did he say that?
He's getting players' jersey numbers wrong. They're wearing the jersey right in front of you. How are you missing the numbers?
Ooh.
Oh, it was a bad broadcast. And then Ian Eagle with that Khalil Mack.
Ian Eagle.
Whatever. His name doesn't matter to me either today.
Ian Eagle and Charles Johnson here as we're in Las Vegas for the Bears.
Let's get back to calls after Shot or No Shot, which is in exactly 2 minutes, and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Watch us live. Join the chat, sponsored by Xfinity. Take that.